That's what that is talking about. It's talking about buying us back from the debt we owed. We owed a great debt. How much did we owe? Anybody tell me, how much did we owe? 100%? What was it going to require? What kind of payment? Death. Eternity apart from God's goodness, right? Hell. And yes, as we discussed not too many weeks ago, hell is a dreadful, dreadful, dreadful place. It is a reality. And for everyone that leaves this world and has to pay for their sins, that is what is ahead of them. Part of the reason why we do what we do here in this church is because we want to warn people. And yes, we have to warn them about the reality of hell. We also tell them the wonderful good news. That's the gospel. That's what gospel means. It means good news. And it's the good news that Jesus paid that price. So what was it that made his death different than anybody else's death? Because this is one of the questions I always ask you when people would ask me if I was saved. Well, my first question is, saved from what? That's kind of a church word, and people in the world don't understand that word. Saved from what? Saved from a car accident? Saved from drowning? Saved from injury? I mean, we need to know about what we're being saved from. Okay, so be prepared to answer that question. And then we want to know, why is Jesus the only one who could save us? What is it that was unique about him? Because, my dad has died, my grandmother now has died, many people that were close to me have died. So it seems to be the way that all people will end up is dying, right? At some point. He was without sin. All the rest of us actually deserve it, don't we? Because that's that payment that we owe. But you see, Jesus was without that sin. He lived a perfect life. Perfect. Morally perfect. Can you imagine that? That's hard for us to imagine, isn't it? Because sin so permeates even our thoughts to some degree or another. I ran into a guy the other day. He's a dear Christian brother, but I would have to differ with him. He told me he thought he could go through a whole week or maybe even a couple weeks without ever sinning even one time. He's a nice guy. I mean, don't get me wrong. I really like the guy. I told him, I said, boy, it's a real bummer when you realize you ain't done nothing wrong, but you did it for the wrong reason. And he goes, wait a minute. I'm going to have to think about that. It's just guys, sin runs so deep in my heart, even whenever I give somebody a gift, I'm kind of hoping that I might get something out of it. Can you relate? I mean, that's kind of a sinful thought to begin with, isn't it? The whole reason. It's human nature. It goes right down to the very, very place, our core of who we are. And so we have to deal with this every day. So therefore, you see, even as believers in Christ, I believe repentance still plays a part in our life. Repentance is a big part of our life. We don't just repent one time, receive salvation, and then we're good to go for the rest of our life. We can do whatever we want, not have to worry about it anymore. I think repentance then begins to be a part of our everyday life. It just is a condition and a state of the way that we go from that time on. Now, maybe some people have the wrong idea of repentance, and so they're not really sure that sounds like such an approachable thing to have repentance as a part of your daily life. Because some people think that repentance has to do with a bitter sorrow that makes you kind of beat up on yourself. That's not what repentance is. Okay, that's worldly sorrow, and that leads to more death. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a change of heart. It's a change of direction. It's a 180-degree turn. Now, I know sometimes we can be mathematically not real good, and I've heard people say, well, it's a 360-degree turn. Well, you better watch that one, because 360 degrees puts you going the same way you was going before, and you don't want to be going that way. This is a 180-degree turn, and that means that we turn and go the other way, away from our sin. Okay? And so we turn to God. But I believe not only is it the road to what last week we studied on how it was the road to refreshment, rest, it's also the road to redemption. And here, we need to understand redemption somewhat. It was totally accomplished on the cross, but we're still waiting for the reality of it to be totally, fully carried out in each one of our lives. It's a beautiful thing. The word redemption actually means to be bought back, never to be sold again. Isn't that a wonderful term? When you think about the fact that we were all slaves to sin at one time, the Bible tells us, we're slaves to something, guys. If you think you're a free agent, I'm sorry, but you're a little bit deceived. We're not a free agent in this world. We're either serving the enemy or we're serving God. And in fact, we're either a slave to that sin or we can be a slave to God. Which one would you rather be? Because, see, if you make yourself slave to God, he actually makes you a son and daughter. That's cool, man. We get an inheritance with that slavery. But see, if you stay a slave to sin, you're only going to get one thing. You're going to get hell at the end of all of it. Not a good thing. So Ephesians 4, 29 through 32 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." The day of redemption. The day of redemption. You know, that's really an important thing. I contemplated that a lot after I started doing this message the other day. Prayed, started opening up the concordance to look at where this whole thing of redemption takes us. Did you notice? That was Paul who wrote that letter, right? To the Ephesian church, the church of Ephesus. He didn't just write that to the general public out there. He was writing that to the church. What is the church? It's saved individuals, right? The blood-bought believers in Jesus Christ. That's the church, the bride of Christ. And yet, to the church, he spoke of there being a coming day of redemption. And so, this kind of made me think a lot more about that day of redemption. That must be an important day, because he says we're being sealed for that. So remember that redeem refers to buying a slave. Okay, buying a slave, never to be sold again. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus achieved the atonement on the cross. Okay, I want you to understand that. The word atonement is an important word as well, and it talks about paying in full something that is lacking. Okay, so Jesus paid in full on that cross something that was lacking for each one of us, but we've got to receive him to receive the blessing of that. Okay, so he achieved that work on the cross. In fact, at that time, he said, "It is finished." And he meant that everything that ever needed to be paid forever was paid right there on that cross. It was paid in full, that debt. Okay, and then we repent and receive. We receive salvation, but we also receive the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us. Okay, the Holy Spirit is that seal of guarantee on us that we truly are saved. If you want to know if you're saved, you know, a lot of people say, how can I know? You can know if the Holy Spirit lives in you. And I can tell you, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, you will know that he is there. Now, a lot of people, I've had people come to me afterwards and really challenge me on this, but the Bible is very clear on this. This is an absolute thing. Every believer in Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit living in them. In fact, he promised those before he went back to heaven, his disciples, that it was good for him to go back to heaven because then they could receive the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would be sent and would be poured out. In fact, he told them, don't even try to do anything, like go out and be my witnesses or any of that. You stay here in the city until you receive the promised Holy Spirit. So every one of those believers received the Holy Spirit before they went out. That's when they got the power. So every one of us who have repented and trusted in Jesus have the Holy Spirit. Do I get an amen to that? Every one of us. Okay, so Jesus, he took care of the atonement on the cross. Then we repent, we receive the Holy Spirit. So in a sense, we're kind of bought back from that slavery at that point. So we are redeemed. But this is what's puzzling about this and interesting. We're redeemed for the day of redemption, which comes in the future. Okay, so in a spiritual sense, and God sees everything as though it's already completed once it starts, because that's how God is. He's going to complete this thing. For those who are in Christ, in a sense, spiritually, we've been bought back, but it still has to be lived out in our life for that day of redemption. And I'll just say the day of redemption is when Jesus returns. That's when our bodies will be redeemed. And we'll read a scripture here in a little bit, and it talks about that. Okay, and then, from that point on, repentance becomes common in our life. And I think this may be where the church has fallen down a little bit in this day and age. Why does the church not have the full power of God like we see the church in Acts have? It ain't because God's any less powerful, I'm going to tell you that. And I don't think it's because all the gifts ceased to be, because the gift is actually God Himself. Okay? It's God who healed people then. It's still God who heals people today. Okay? So I think that the thread that we may be missing in the church today is that there's a big lack of real true repentance in life. And Christians just oftentimes think that somehow they're above that. So I'm just going to ask you with a show of hands today, how many of you can go a month without sinning even one time? We're going to bring this down. You can kind of see where I'm going. How about 2 weeks? How about a week? How about a day? I'm glad you're not like my brother I talked to the other day. God bless him. I bet he's going to be disappointed from this day on, because I think God's going to show him. Guys, we can't even make it a day. Repentance needs to be a regular part of our life, because you see what happens is, even though you won't lose your salvation, I don't believe you can, it's going to separate you in relationship from the closeness with God. It talks about not grieving the Holy Spirit. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, because if we grieve the Holy Spirit, how can He flow freely through us? How can we enjoy that closeness with Him? So repentance needs to become a regular part of our life, a common thing. And then Jesus is going to come back and get us, and that's the day of redemption. So we're redeemed for the day of redemption. There's still something that needs to go on in our life until that day comes. So as we kind of look at that, let's go to Galatians chapter 4. You'll see it on your sheet if you kind of follow along. I try to give some sermon notes. That way you can take these scriptures home. You can look them up a little bit better. But let's look there at Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. Isn't that so cool? So He bought us back, sort of like slaves, so that He could make us sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Abba means daddy. So instead of distant father or distant God or this God that is almost unattainable, we can cry out in the closest of all names, daddy. That's the kind of Spirit that He puts in our hearts. And therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So this is God's purpose, is to buy back people that are slaves to sin and make them sons and daughters. What a beautiful thing. Do I get an amen to that? What a wonderful God we serve, and how much do we owe Him? We can't pay for it, but it says in the Scripture, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that we should therefore present our bodies as living sacrifices to Him. For it is our reasonable act of worship or spiritual worship. It's our reasonable service. Why? Because look at what He's done for us. Let's give ourselves fully to Him to be used of Him in whatever way that He desires. And do not be conformed to this world, it says in chapter 12, verse 2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is our calling from the moment that we become a Christian. Now, we don't really totally understand that very well, right, the first day, because we're just a newborn baby in Christ. But would you want your newborn baby, in a physical sense, to just stay a newborn baby? No. Although we love them and we cuddle with them and we get kind of sad when we see them growing up, we do want them to grow up, amen? God wants us to grow up. As spiritual babes, He wants us to say, Daddy, help me. Daddy, help me grow. He wants us to continue to grow in our relationship with Him. He wants us to become part of the family business, is what it is. You see, He's still got more people out there that He's calling. And He doesn't send angels down to do it. He sends us. And so we need to be a part of this process, and we need to be fully engaged in this. We need to be joyfully working with our Daddy, with the Holy Spirit that lives in us, the Spirit of His Son, and crying out to people and encouraging them to come and be a part of it. In fact, in Romans 8, 22 through 25, we find a little bit more on the next slide. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, there's that Holy Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. The redemption of our body. I think that's the idea of we're redeemed to be redeemed. There's going to be a day that we're going to have a bodily resurrection, and our body is then going to be totally free from sin. I almost can't say it. Can you imagine that your flesh will be perfected? You'll no longer want to sin anymore. Do I get an amen to that? Amen. No more struggle then. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with, say this word with me, perseverance. See, we're redeemed to be redeemed, but we need to persevere. There's this dash in between the two lines. So in between the two dates. So I've got the date of my salvation. I was born again on that date. I don't really know my exact date. Unfortunately, I didn't have enough insight to write it down. But there's a little dash between that date that I got saved and the day that I go to be with Jesus, or the day he comes to get me. Okay? And then, of course, then we've got this day of redemption out here when Jesus returns, and we're not sure when that's going to be either, but we'll have a bodily resurrection at that time, and our bodies will be totally set free from the decay and the corruption of the sinful world that we have here. That dash in between those two days is where we need to persevere. We need to persevere in this faith. Do we persevere so we can be saved? No. We persevere because we are saved. And we need to keep on, keeping on, keeping on, keeping on daily, doing the work of God, wanting to please Him, being that living sacrifice. A living sacrifice is used of God. Not just destroyed on that altar. He'll continue to use us if we'll stay on that altar, though. That's where we need to be. And I'll tell you what, you know, this process, it all starts in the same place for each and every one of us. In fact, Acts chapter 2, couldn't say it any better, had the day of Pentecost, and Peter preached this sermon, and now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Do y'all remember the day you were cut to the heart? I hope you can remember the day. If you can't remember, you know, all of everything that went about it, I pray that you know you had that day whenever you started realizing you were a sinner, you had offended a holy God, and you just couldn't stand it any longer, and you did something about that. Maybe you haven't had that day. If you haven't, I pray it happens today. Do you realize Jesus died for you individually? We all like to blame it on those Jews over there that day and say, oh, it was all their fault. In fact, there was a time in our history, unfortunately, where people did just blame it on them, and they actually persecuted them for it. They were hurting Jews because they said, well, you're the ones that killed Jesus. No, we're the ones that killed Jesus. Every one of us who have ever sinned, it was our fault. And so he was telling them this that day, and they were cut to the heart. And then they said to the apostles, they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Man, I'm hurting so bad, I got to do something. And Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So wow, here we go from there. Opens up a whole new life, a whole new world, a whole new way of living. Y'all remember how that all worked out? But there's a lot of question marks in that. Because, like, this is all new to me. I don't know what to do with all this. And so it's a process of growth that we are in from that time on. The Holy Spirit leading us, the Bible being our guide, the Holy Spirit explaining to us daily what that means, and then we continue to walk with Him, and that is that life of perseverance. But guys, we got to stay in it. We got to willingly be a part of it. And I think repentance is a big part of it, because from day to day, we're going to be cut to the heart again and again and again over things that we know are not right there. We need to work on. That's that Holy Spirit living in us, and it's one of the evidences that He really is there. Then from that point, of that starting point, that's not the end, that's the beginning. Then we continue with Him. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, in Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. You see how that just continues to go back to that day of redemption. That redemption of our whole being. Guys, it's sealed in you, but it needs to be lived out in your life from that time on. And that's where that repentance is such a key. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I'm just going to tell you, it all comes back to that same key, and you see it over and over and over again. If you want to know for sure you're saved, you just look to see if the Holy Spirit's living in there. And I'll tell you, one of the best ways you can tell if the Holy Spirit's in there, do you feel conviction over sin? And does that conviction move you? Does it move you to action? And that action is repentance. You just can't stand to continue on in it anymore. I tell you, I always am concerned for an individual who says, yeah, I was saved 40 years ago, but then you look at their flow of their life, and they're just not convicted over the sin in their life at all. And if you were to ask them, you know, they would say, oh, I'm okay, you know, I can live with my girlfriend, or I can live with my boyfriend outside of marriage. I can do all these things. I can take drugs. I can do what I want, and I'm fine. That's scary to me. I can't judge them, and I'm not going to judge them because I'm not their judge. But it scares me for them. I have a hard time feeling really convinced. And so I would warn them, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, He's not going to be able to let you stand that. Because it grieves Him. God still hates sin, guys. He hates it with a passion. He hates it with the passion that took Jesus to the cross. He's not okay with it in us anymore. All those sins that maybe we shrug our shoulders at, guys, I'm going to tell you something. God ain't okay with them. I mean, right down the list. He can't stand it when we lie. He can't stand it when we're lustful. He can't stand all this pornography and all of these child trafficking and sex trafficking that's going on in our country. He hates it. It's not okay. He hates gluttony. You know? I mean, like, if we find that we are being a glutton, guys, don't think that, like, you're condemned or that He hates you, but He hates that and He wants to set us free from it. Now, that isn't a standard that other people should keep on somebody. You know, I've seen that happen too. They try to decide what's gluttony for another person. You just decide what's gluttony for you in your relationship with God and how He convicts you. Okay? Now, some of the other things are really just spelled out in the Scripture very easily, you know? And some of those, you know, like infidelity, adultery, homosexuality. Yes, God hates those things because they hurt the people. God wants to see that power destroyed. He wants us to choose to walk away from it. Drunkenness and all of these things. Yeah. I say we just avoid it to the best we can. That when we repent and we do that 100% turn, that at least the intention of our heart needs to be that I never want to just return to that. Now maybe I stumble again. I want you to know you need to go back to God again. You know, God didn't put a number on the time that He would allow us to repent and not anything past that. No. In fact, what did He tell His disciples whenever they asked, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven? That seemed like a good number. That's a perfect number. So seven? I think they were wanting to know, you know, where's this little commandment that I can check off my list? I forgave him seven times and then I don't have to forgive him no more. No. What did Jesus tell him? 70 times seven. So does that mean 490? I get past 490? I don't have to do it again? No, He was saying, guys, He was saying, to an endless amount, you need to just forgive. How does He forgive us? In that endless way. Man, isn't that awesome? So no matter if you continue to fall in that same place, just turn back to God. Continue to turn back to God. Don't ever hide from Him. Don't ever give up. We'll keep fighting the battle till Jesus comes or we go to be with Him. Amen? And that's where we need to encourage one another. That's why we're in a community of believers, okay? Is that we encourage one another to fight that battle with sin, because I want to see you be totally redeemed, body, soul, and spirit, be with Jesus someday. totally bought the whole package. The only way we can know we're on that path is if we're convicted and we respond to that conviction. So I think we know that it brings us rest, and we know that it brings us to that true sense of knowing that we belong to Him, that we're redeemed. Repentance must be a pretty important key in our lives. So let's just look to Jesus right now, and let's ask Him if there's anything in our hearts we need to repent of this morning. I think it'd be a good place to go. Dear Father, we come to You, and we just pray that You convict us of any sin that You might want to point out in our life today. Thank You that You don't just dump the whole load on us at once. I figured that out whenever I first came to You as a new believer. I knew I had so much junk in my life. If You tried to make me clean it all up at once, I'd never be able to take it. But Lord, You just gently have led me along this path. And it's called sanctification. And I'll be on that path for the rest of my life. I praise You that You're gentle in the way that You take us through that. I pray that we respond to You. And if we continue to respond to You, then You can continue to grow us. We don't want to just stay newborn babes in the faith. We want to grow. Help us to grow so that we can be helpful to others. I praise You, Lord, for conviction. I praise You that that's a sign the Holy Spirit lives in me. Help me to respond to You today. Help us all to respond to You. If there's anything You lay on our hearts, let us bring it to the altar and just lay it there before Your throne. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You all stand, please.
Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into Thy freedom, gladness, and light, Jesus, I come to Thee. Out of my sickness, into Thy health, out of my want and into Thy wealth, out of my sin and into Thyself, Jesus, I come to Thee. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into the glorious gain of Thy cross, Jesus, I come to Thee. Out of earth's sorrows, into Thy balm, out of life's storms, and into Thy calm, out of distress, to jubilant psalm, Jesus, I come to Thee. Out of unrest and arrogant pride, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into Thy blessed will to abide, Jesus, I come to Thee. Out of myself to dwell in Thy love, out of despair into raptures above, upward for hay on wings like a dove, Jesus, I come to Thee.
So, question for the church members here at Cadet. There's not a whole bunch of us here this morning, but I'm just going to ask, how you been doing with the handing out of the cards? Have you been getting opportunities to hand out some of those cards for our church that have the website on the back? Have you? Amen. Thank you, Chrissy. I hope everybody could hear her, but she said even in Georgia, they were able to give one out. This isn't just an invitation to our church, because on the back, it has a website on it called truelife.org, and when you go onto that website, it has video links that give you answers to all, many of the tough questions people ask about Christianity in the Bible.
Not
yes.
Only does it do that, but it can link you up with a church
in their area, a participating church in their area. So that it's got a church finder map on it. And so from those from other churches this morning that came to join us, asked me on the way out, and I'll give you one of the cards and show you what it is. But also want to remind all of our church members as well that we have Jesus videos that we can give out as well. And this is the evangelistic video that's been used all over the world. But it's basically just simply Jesus' life put to movie from the Gospel of Luke. And it is very good, very good. One of them is a child's version, and the other one, because it comes from the understanding of a child kind of from their day or whatever. Still the same basic information, though. And the other one is more the adult version. It's just straight from the Gospel. But I just want to offer those to anybody who will receive them. We actually have hundreds of them and have more of them coming on the way. I want to get these into people's hands because I know gospel conversations, we may not be able to get it all done in just a few minutes. They're still going to have questions. I want them to be able to find answers, okay? And we may never see them in this church building, but that's okay if we see them in heaven, amen? That'll be worth it for sure. And so I just want to encourage everybody. Weston? Is Weston back there? How many of those have you given out so far, Weston? Still the same? Tell me how many. 19. So, that might convict a few of us adults, huh? So, no, praise the Lord. He's not bashful about giving out those cards, and he knows that there's enough information just on that card alone to help a person. And so, we'll continue to do that. So, do we have any birthdays?
Birthdays. Do we have any?